Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Melissa, Seth, and James here with you at 8:04 on the clock. We're being joined right now by our good friend Paul Trombley from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning to you.
How's it going over there?
Pretty well. How about things there?
Well, we've had a gumbo version of weather today, Paul. We've had everything but snow and a little bit of everything. So what else is Mother Nature going to throw at us today?
Yeah, still got more showers that will continue on and off here through the midday hours especially. And then still looking at temperatures, though, stay pretty steady right now. It's kind of sitting around 60. It'll probably kind of stay steady or falling through the 50s as the day progresses. West winds to about 10 to 20. For tonight, a couple showers around early, otherwise cloudy and 37. And then more clouds on Thursday, a couple more afternoon showers, 46, with west winds 10 to 20. 30 on Thursday night, some lingering clouds. Mid-40s Friday, maybe a few more afternoon showers, otherwise still rather cloudy. And then those colder temps into the weekend, 28 Friday night, 47, partly sunny on Saturday, 30 Saturday night. More mid-upper 40s into Sunday with more clouds and some highs in the low to mid-40s in the early next week. So our first real extended period of these colder temps upon us here into next week, at least through midweek, the way things are looking. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Always appreciate the time, Paul. You have a great day, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
Sounds good. You too.
Thanks, yeah. Kind of what we expected,
yeah.
Right, everybody? I mean, that's kind of...
Basically, yeah.
If you've been paying attention to the forecasts, you know, the last couple of days and stuff, we were warned this was coming.
Yes, yeah.
Technically, I guess, we were told.
Wait, what? Winter?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Is it coming, right?
I do love the idea of somebody moving to the Midwest and just finding out, like, wait, what's this?
Actually, I just had that conversation this last weekend because before we went to the play, we went out for dinner at... Tokyo Royal, and had dinner, you know, because you sit with other people you don't know at a hibachi.
Yep.
And they just moved here. The gal was from New Mexico, and the guy was from Oklahoma. She had no idea what was coming. I'm like, oh, honey, layers.
Yeah.
It's called long underwear, and I suggest Smart Wool. Patagonia.
Yeah.
Visit some of these websites. Get yourself some layers. You're going to want them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Heated jacket. I mean, one of the greatest investments I will ever make in my life is having a heated jacket. Yes.
That's cool.
Yes.
So I thought it was well established that, certainly not rightfully so, that black cat crosses your path, it's bad luck, and a piano's about to fall on you from Acme.
Is that how that works? Okay.
But a new poll found cat owners are more likely to think black cats bring good luck.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Only 21% of cat owners in the U.S. think black cats are bad luck, and 41% think that they're good luck. So almost twice as many, around, you know, 38% of us live in reality, and the other half, you know, don't. I'm joking.
But why would you own a black cat if you thought it was bad luck?
I mean, that's the first thing that pops in my head.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm
so with you. Yeah. The same poll also found black cats are more popular than you'd think. It's the fourth most popular color for a cat. 10% of cat owners say it's their favorite.
Wow. All right.
Okay, how many of us wear black clothing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Pot calling the kettle. Oh, wait. I was really encouraged when I saw this because working in shelters, and I've talked about this before, unfortunately, there are black cats and black dogs that do not get adopted so often.
Really?
And it's not because they're not sweet, incredible, wonderful animals.
Right.
It's simply because of the color of their coat.
Oh.
So I thought I'd look into this, and it has become more common than ever that black cats are getting adopted from shelters and these things. There's still work to be done there, but it is very encouraging to see that.
That's great. It's good to hear.
The same poll also found that black cats are more popular than you'd think, of course. And as I was just saying there, they're 10% cat owners say they're their favorite. The five most popular cat colors are solid white at 32%, tabby at 14%, tuxedo, which is black and a white chest, at 13%, and all black at 10%. And harlequin, which is mostly white with patches of another color, also 10%. I've never heard of that one.
I've
seen it, but I guess I never heard it called that.
That's what it's called. Interesting.
Harlequin.
Yeah.
9% say calico or tortoiseshell. 7% prefer orange cats. 4% said blue-gray, which is like a medium gray color.
Yeah.
That is my favorite. The only cat that I've ever had. I always feel very cringy saying owned. I don't know why. I feel very cringy saying that.
So. Because cats own you.
Pretty much, yeah.
I was going to say partnership. Is that what it is?
Hemingway was a five-toed gray cat. Yes, roommate. Yeah. It's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, roommate.
And one more for you. Black cat owners were slightly more likely to say Halloween is their favorite holiday. 25% compared to 21% for everyone else. Not a huge margin, but kind of fun little stat there to throw in this time of year.
They're all witches.
Yep, every one of them.
They're like black cat. They're all. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I'm just joking.
It is funny though. And again, I was going to say this before. The smartest human being I've ever known is my mother, and I don't say that just because she's my mom. I mean, she generally is.
Mm-hmm.
But she's superstitious. She's got her superstitions. Mm-hmm. So I'm always hesitant to like make fun of these things or anything. I find them a little ridiculous. My brain is the exact opposite of this. I need facts. I need something that I can hang my hat on. Say, okay, this is why black cats truly are bad luck. The data shows that when a black cat shows up and crosses your path, that the statistically bad, you know, no, none of that applies to Sarah, you know, any of those things. But I also think that that's, like, we're just talking about this earlier, about we've never had more information and more accessible at any point in human history.
Yeah.
And that's really fun. It also takes away some of the mystery of life sometimes.
It does.
And some of the fun parts of life.
Yeah.
In some ways, I miss me and the guy sitting around like, who won the World Series in 86? And Chris has always got an answer. We don't believe
trying
him.
To puzzle it out.
Yeah, so we're trying to figure it out and all these things. And nowadays, I mean, it takes 5 seconds to kill that conversation.
Yeah, right.
There's much bigger, more important things than that. But
yeah.
It's a loose example.
I hear you.
As much as I love being able to, I could just look that up. I do kind of miss some of that about life. I do kind of miss some of the superstition of life, of these things, of worrying about.
Yeah. Well, now, having said all of that, what's it like being in a profession that is like possibly the most superstitious profession on the planet?
You're so right, man. You're so right.
I have never met a group, with the possible exception of athletes, that actors are just about as superstitious. And I got to say, you know, doing the show again, you know, it'd been a year since I'd been on stage. I realized I do certain things the same way before a performance. And it's not because I'm not a superstitious person, but still. And I'm like, I kind of rationalize it. So it's like, oh, no, I'm just doing this to get myself prepared. And, I'm not superstitious. Yeah. These are just things I do. You know, it's not like feel like I have to do it.
Nobody can con you like yourself.
I know.
No, nobody is a better con artist when it comes to ourselves than ourselves. I'm glad you said that, Seth.
Yeah.
I have always begrudged those things because of what I just previously said.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're not supposed to say Macbeth during a run. You're not supposed to walk under a ladder, these things.
Yeah.
I've done them in almost every show I've ever been a part of. And you know, the show went on. Everything was okay.
Yeah.
But you're so right about this because I can make fun of people about that. And then I turn around and I have to find a spot in the theater to shadow box by myself because I've been doing that since sixth grade.
Again,
And that's my thing. So, who am I to begrudge anybody their superstitions or anything? I've got some myself that I didn't really think too much about until, like, the actual last show I was in.
Exactly,
It kind of dawned on me a little bit. They're like, huh.
Oh, yeah.
Pot, meat, kettle.
Yeah.
A little bit of that. I wanted. I was trying to pause to give Melissa a chance to talk.
Oh,
so
you going
to
jump
wanted.
In here?
I didn't know
well,
she
I
was going
to bring. I was going to bring the conversation back to cats.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
With,
that's good.
Where this started, because when we were talking about cat things, I remembered, and your point, James, about being able to look these things up. I had thought that orange cats were typically female. Well, that's not true. They're actually usually male, and calico cats are usually female.
Hmm.
Wow.
Huh.
Who knew?
So I had to look that up and verify that because, you know.
That's really
I didn't
remarkable.
Want to give misinformation, which I would have done had I not looked it up.
We don't do that here, Melissa.
No, we don't.
That's interesting, Mel.
That is very
really interesting. I didn't think about that really before. Huh.
Wow.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Why don't we go ahead and we're going to take our break a little bit early. We'll do that. We'll take it a little bit early so we can get right to the celebrating. We got a bunch of birthdays and anniversaries. We're looking forward to celebrating everybody. So we're going to go ahead and do that. Take this break a tad bit early. But I do want to remind everybody that it is United Way Day at McDonald's today from 7 to 7. If you can get down there, get some McDonald's in your life, you are not only going to get some good food and great people, because they got great staff over there at McDonald's, you're also going to be putting right back in your community. Mm-hmm. You are supporting an organization in the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties that hits on so many key factors that are in need in our community and make so much out of that dollar, that $5, that $100, whatever it is that you donate.
Yep.
Nowadays, if there's one thing that we all have in common, we all want more bang for our buck. We want, mm-hmm. I want my dollar can't just buy this anymore. It needs to come with this and that.
Yeah.
Or on a discount or something like that. That's your United Way. They're that of the nonprofit industry. You put into the mm-hmm. United Way, and yes, you can be specific about your dollars if you choose to, but mm-hmm. if you're like somebody like me, when I donate to the United Way, it's just kind of like, here you go, put it where you need.
Right.
And they take that and dissect it so perfectly, better than any nonprofit I've ever heard of, and I've done a lot of homework on this one. It's incredible what they do. You see any of the staff there, thank them, and certainly get some McDonald's in your life.
Yeah.
7 to 7 today over at the Wisconsin Rapids McDonald's. Keep that in mind. It is at the Wisconsin Rapids McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go ahead, take this break, come back, and do some celebrating. Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club right around the corner on Mornings on WFHR.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear AOL buddy. Happy birthday to you.
Hey, Zoe Deschanel, everybody.
Oh, wow.
Friend of the show, Zoe Deschanel. Again? Thank you so much. Again, yeah.
Two days in a row.
Two in a row.
She was in town, so she just thought she'd spend the night. It's a great area.
You know, it's her sister's birthday yesterday, so.
Yeah, right.
I don't know how that even happened. I don't think that's ever happened before on a rotator when I've hit it before. That was interesting.
I will admit that I was doing a little something with that yesterday, so that's probably what happened.
All
yeah.
Right. Oh, no, I'd been thinking about that all morning, man. Thank you so much for saying something. What did I do?
So I did add a new one in there.
Nice.
You'll notice it when it comes up. Oh, so I just want to. It's going to be interesting to see your reaction, though. That's
great work, Seth. Nicely done. It is time to get to some celebrating with our good friends at Misty's Menu. Treat yourself. You heard Zoe. It's a birthday time.
Yeah.
Get on over to Misty's Menu. They're open right now till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great big happy morning from all of us at WFHR.
Mm-hmm.
So we really only have one person that can technically, well, I guess two that can technically win today, but we do have two that we want to make sure to reference. So first up, Seth, give me a one or a two.
One today.
Okay. There we go. That gives us our qualifier. So we can dive right into the birthdays. And we got two, special ones here at the studios. First up, a very happy birthday to Jim Hilke, Pam's brother-in-law.
Oh, happy birthday, Jim.
Happy birthday.
And Jim is a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
Such a good guy. Like, just genuinely good people. Yeah. Like, you know?
Earlier this year, they stopped by, and I was able to meet him. And you're so right. He's just a nice guy.
I can't thank him enough, and his wife, I should say, mm-hmm. Both of them enough for still traveling out this way and you know, stopping at the studios here and everything. You can't talk to Jim and not see Carl, not pick up on that and everything. And I mean that with the biggest compliments mm-hmm. I can give. And that means a lot, you know? I mean, even with Carl around, it would mean a lot having Jim here. With that, of course, added on top of it and everything, it's mm-hmm. beautiful. And Jim's a great guy. Have a great day, Jim. You see Jim today, wish him a good birthday. For all of us.
Yeah.
We also want to wish a very happy birthday to Laura Berg.
Happy birthday, Laura.
Happy birthday, Laura.
Woohoo.
Laura, of course, former roommates with Melissa.
That's right, yeah.
The best roomie ever, mm-hmm. honestly, that I've ever had.
That's great.
Honestly, favorite person I've lived with.
Aw, sweet.
They are one of the greatest tag teams I've ever seen in my life, those these two. I've never seen friends like that before. I've had some good friendships, I'm sure you have, Seth. I've mm-hmm. never seen two like these two are.
That's good.
And Laura's amazing. Now, maybe you've seen Laura in one of our WRCT shows. She mm-hmm. was in The Real Inspector Hound.
No, she was in Death Trap.
I meant Death Trap. Sorry, I was looking at Seth when I said it. That's where that came from.
That's what you remember, yeah. Right.
She was in Death Trap, and she blew me away in that, I thought. Yep. I thought she was amazing in it. And Laura's just an amazing human being. Like, mm-hmm. She's generally one of the most unique, intelligent, funny human beings I've ever met in my life.
And you may not know this. You have heard her voice on these airwaves, the Over the Back Fence promo. That is Laura who did that mm-hmm. one. So shout out to Laura for helping us out with that as well.
Yeah.
She's got such a recognizable, wonderful voice. I want to get it on these airwaves more.
Yeah, exactly.
And Laura is also a four-time mom and mm-hmm. a Hall of Fame mother. First ballot Hall of Fame mom.
Yes.
Get your speech.
Get your speech ready, Laura, because when you get accepted, like you're gonna, it's yep. a right away. You're gonna go right in. You can't meet her and not enjoy your time.
Yeah,
just a remarkable, wonderful human being, and we wish you a great birthday, Laura. Enjoy your day.
Absolutely.
And our qualifier today, Gene Jerwisky.
Gene. Happy birthday,
Happy
Gene.
Birthday, Gene.
Gene is our qualifier. Gene gets into the running here. Congratulations, Gene. That's awesome. We wish you a fantastic birthday.
Absolutely.
Let's take a look at some celebrity birthdays now. First up on the list, Darcy Lynn Farmer is 18. Ventriloquist and singer who won America's Got Talent when she was 12.
Whoa.
Wow.
Ventriloquism. It's still
at
alive.
12.
At 12.
I wasn't familiar with her, so I Googled her. She's still touring. She's still doing stuff and everything. Working.
Cool.
It seems like working good, too. Like a good, steady, you know, career she's got going with
right.
this. Which is very cool to see for a ventriloquist.
It
like,
is.
That's yeah. really unique.
There's usually like one or two that are around all the time, but that's like at the limit we can handle.
You're right. It's like that with prop comics too.
Yeah.
Like you know, until Gallagher goes away, I don't think we're going to get another prop. Carrot Top.
Carrot Top is the other
Gallagher
one.
Goes away. Carrot Top comes up, and you don't see Gallagher anymore. And now we haven't seen Carrot Top in a while. So whoever wants to pick this up,
the next prop comic.
Right
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. The ventriloquist thing. You're so right because Jeff Dunham is, I think, the first yep. name that pops in most of our heads
for sure.
And go ahead and name me three others. Like
I can't.
I really can't. Now,
Geechee Guy still working. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah. On Eastique. Josh Hutcherson is 30. He's PETA in The Hunger Games. And Josh Futterman in Hulu's Future Man. He was so good in that show, Future Man. Mm. Underrated show. Great show. It was so good. He was hilarious in it. I don't remember him much in The Hunger Games. I don't know. Mm. I don't know. Let's see here. Marian Jones is 47, track and field athlete who admitted to steroids. At the time, during the Sydney Olympics in 2000, she was one of my favorite things in the world mm-hmm. when she won those races. And I am such a homer and I'm such a track and field person.
Right.
I was so happy. And I grew up watching FloJo. I grew up seeing her at the Olympics and everything. So here I thought that we were going to get another one of these.
Mm-hmm.
But she put a black eye on her field and her sport and everything. And anytime, like I bring this up because I feel like we haven't seen as much of it since her and Ben Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that has kind of really like they've upped their game on testing with track and field during the Olympics.
Yeah.
And thankfully so, because this is the biggest thing. One of the biggest things that's going to get me to stop watching football, if that ever happens, I would love to be able to tell people it's because of the barbaridness and the concussions and all these
yeah.
things. I'm not that morally sound. I would love to be able to lie to you and tell you that. That would be a factor, but mm-hmm. the biggest factor would be the fact that every time I see a big play, what's the first instinct we all have? Where's the flag? Where's the flag? Is there a flag? Is there a flag? We got PTSD with flags now and with this stuff.
and the color yellow, yeah.
It's like that with the track and field and with the Olympics and yeah. everything. Like, oh, this is the world record time, but let's just wait for the doping scan.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's guilty until proven innocent almost.
Yeah, Tour de France.
The
Tour de France seemed always cool to me as a kid. I thought
yeah.
it was an awesome thing. And then all of a sudden, like every year, it was doping scandal. So
yep.
I don't even pay attention to it anymore.
Not
like,
really.
Things like that is going to kill the sport. Thankfully, they have really killed it themselves and jumped on this.
They have, yeah.
Let's see here. Kirk Cameron is 52. Mike Seaver from Growing Pains.
Oh, yes.
Marti McGuire is 53, from formerly the Dixie Chicks, but now just the Chicks. She's also in the Courtyard Hounds, another great band. I love their harmonies. Of the Chicks, I love their harmonies, man. I don't pretend to know a lot of their music, but the songs I know of theirs, that's my favorite part, is the harmonies that
they
do.
Great voice blending.
Yeah.
Yes.
One of the more talented human beings any of us have seen, the great Hugh Jackman, is 54 today. Ooh. Hugh, just in case you didn't believe us when we tell you that, go ahead and watch him as Wolverine, and then go ahead and watch him in The Greatest Showman. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, or look at any, like, Google Hugh Jackman on Broadway. Like, my God.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman's so good at singing that during a Tony's moment where they brought Aretha Franklin out,
yep,
he was hanging with Aretha Franklin. Like, Aretha Franklin talks about this, and she didn't realize how good he could sing, and she went into it kind of like singing along with him, and then he starts belting, and she's like, oh, no, honey. No. Her words, exactly. And like, so she kicked it up a notch and everything.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah.
It tells you a lot about his work and stuff. And just so giving of his time, too, because he is one of the first people that I heard about. Like, they, wherever they were filming that scene from Wolverine or the X-Men or anything like mm-hmm. that, he's going to the children's hospital in costume, like, and going and doing mm-hmm. these things in cancer wards and stuff. Like, he is so giving of his time.
Yep.
Has a beautiful relationship with his wife, too. Not that this is any of our business, but so oftentimes when you have an overnight success, like Hugh Jackman was, he's one of my bigger influences because of this, because he got his break late in life in his 40s and everything. What do we usually hear after that? But so-and-so got divorced, and they're married to their co-star now or whatever. Not Hugh. Like, I'd be shocked. I genuinely, and I don't get shocked by anything anymore, I'd be shocked if he was like that. Like, he's been in love with that woman. They've had a great relationship for so long. She stood by him through so many dark days. Mm-hmm. And I think that as great and as talented as he is, he seems like an even better human being.
Well, at the risk of going down a rabbit hole here, I just want to say, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said it was later in life. Mm-hmm. When you are more... when you're a little bit more mature and
grounded.
The break, exactly, Melissa, when you are grounded and you work so hard to get there and you realize that, you know, I don't have to change. Yeah. I'm still the same person, and that's okay. I'm going to continue to be me. Yeah, I'm famous and, you know, and all the stuff that comes along with that celebrity mm-hmm. status, but he has handled it. I mean, as good as I have seen anybody handle that kind of stuff. And I think it's because he was older when it happened.
Yeah.
I really believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
It reminds me of Robert Downey Jr. and his wife, and, mm-hmm. and they've been together for so long. And, and when he went through all the stuff he was going through and everything, she stood by him, stayed with him, and there they are today, where they run a production company that is one of the most successful in the world.
Exactly.
And just keep kicking out hits and everything. Some other people that want to wish a happy birthday to. Sam Moore is 87, Hall of Fame R&B legend of Sam and Dave.
Yeah.
So many good songs. So many good songs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then two people no longer with us, and both legends in their fields. The legend, arguably one of the goats of comedy, Dick Gregory, born on this day in 1932, passed away in 2017. There is, and this is coming from them, there is no Richard Pryor, there is no Eddie Murphy, Martin Lawrence, Chris Rock, Cedric the Entertainer, Kevin Hart. There is none of those guys without Dick Gregory. The walls that Dick Gregory knocked down, the path that he blazed, just being Dick Gregory, just doing his thing. Also walking the line of you know, dangerous comedy, but not too dangerous. Something that Joan Rivers really tried to do, and I think she just pushed it a little too far at times. Jackie Mason, very similar to that. Jackie Mason got blackballed for her.
Yeah.
But Dick Gregory, he didn't. While those two had different things that hindered them in the entertainment industry, as far as being a woman or being Jewish, they didn't have the thing that Dick Gregory did of being African American. Mm-hmm. And Dick Gregory understood more than anybody, I got to walk this line if I want to keep doing this and keep giving an opportunity for other young black people to be able to have this opportunity. And outside of all of that, one of the funnier people you'll ever hear talk.
Exactly.
Like, that should be noted, too. He was also incredibly hilarious.
You know, I would even go so far as to say Dick Gregory, without him, you don't get George Carlin.
Absolutely.
You don't get any of those comics in the 70s.
Bruce.
Lenny, you know, because he was a contemporary almost of Lenny Bruce and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They were about the same time. Lenny died a little bit, you know, before finally got, you know, started getting in notoriety. But man, I mean, if you go back and listen to this, what he was doing in the late 60s, you can see everything after that coming. You can see, Pryor, Carlin, all those guys.
Some of it's a little dated, but so much of his comedy still holds up, too, though. Like, I couldn't encourage you enough to go Google him and look up some of his, you know, great stand-up.
Yep.
And also his list of books. He's got a lot of books that he wrote.
He did so much other. He did so many other things. He was an actor too.
I honestly want to read several of these.
Yep.
Just looking at their titles. Yep. Wow.
He was amazing.
Heck of a human being.
Yep.
And my Nana's favorite singer of all time. she was a big Patsy Cline fan, so I should mention that as well. But she loved Luciano Pavarotti.
Oh, yes.
Born in this day in 1935, passed away in 2007, very famously known as one of the three tenors.
Yep.
I will put this out there, and I will die on this hill. The greatest version of Ave Maria is the three tenors. My favorite part of it is Luciano's part.
Mm-hmm.
Now, am I biased because of my Nana? Yes, absolutely. Am I wrong? No, I'm not. You go ahead and challenge me on that one.
Yeah, right.
I mean, there are very few bad versions of Ave Maria. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's almost no bad ones.
Yeah.
But it is one of those songs that's been done so many times. There's certain versions, like Ani DiFranco has a version that is my personal favorite,
mm-hmm.
but I do think that the greatest version of it I've ever heard is the three tenors version,
yep.
By far and away.
And you know, as things have changed and you know, people become worldwide sensations more than they ever have, that was at a time when he was probably the most famous singer on the planet.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you could make that argument that everyone knew who he was.
Yeah. Such a powerful voice.
Yeah.
One more time, we want to wish Jim Hilke a very happy birthday. Happy birthday, Jim.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Jim.
Happy birthday to a friend of the station and all of ours, Laura Berg. Laura, enjoy your day.
Absolutely.
Happy birthday, Laura.
Have a great one. And our qualifier, Gene Jerwisky. Happy birthday, Gene.
Happy birthday, Gene. Congratulations.
You're our qualifier, Gene. All of you. You kick back, take in Mel's news, and then head on over to Misty's Menu. They're open right now till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great big happy good morning from all of us at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Some serious comedy to start your day. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We're looking forward to being joined by our friends from Quality Plus Printing. Phil Hartley going to join us with the Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday soon.
Nice.
Does anybody else want me to do that in a Boston accent? It's wicked awesome.
Wicked awesome.
It's wicked awesome Word of Wednesday.
Yes, absolutely. Every time.
Looking forward to talking with Phil and catching up with our friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out.
Mm-hmm.
Want to touch on a subject real quickly here, just for the heck of it, while we're kind of killing some time waiting on to hear from them.
Yep.
I don't know how to feel about this. The pandemic was both good and bad for personal hygiene. Maybe you put more of an emphasis on washing your hands and face, but got a little lack with other stuff with all that time spent at home.
Hmm.
In a new poll, people were asked what hygiene habits they perform regularly, and 90% of people said that they wash their hands and bathe regularly.
Hmm.
87% routinely brush their teeth, 84% use deodorant or antidepressant, and 83% wash their hair, 81% specifically wash their intimate areas, and 77% make sure to wash their face and care for their skin.
Hmm.
Okay. There is a bit of a drop-off. Only 64% of them trim their nails, use mouthwash, and 51% say that they floss. Overall, 57% of women say that they have a good understanding of how to maintain their hygiene, while just 42% of men say that they have any idea of what they're doing. There's a lot to take from this article.
Mm-hmm.
Only 84% of people are using deodorant. Like, that part stood out to me. Now there are some lines in the sand on that one, because there are some people that don't really need deodorant. Like, it's not just that they don't think they do. Like, they have never had an issue with this in their life. There's people that just don't perspire that much, just like there's people that...
Or don't have body odor.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever been told I smell. I don't think that's ever... Now, I'm not saying I'm one of these people, because I put deodorant on religiously. that one might have to do with the other on that factor.
Right.
Because I've been like that my whole life. I'm very attuned to my hygiene. If I smell bad or I got something in my teeth, I generally don't know. Like, I really don't. And if you are any kind of friend, please tell me, because nobody feels worse about it than I do. But I feel like I'm more of a not an outlier necessarily, but I'm more... I'm more overthinking on this subject than most.
Yeah.
I don't know the common thing, but Here's where I want to go with this, and you guys take it wherever you want.
Yeah.
But for me, how do you tell somebody when they smell bad? I remember working at Cops when I worked third shift at Cops forever, and we had a guy that we worked with, and you know, you're working in close proximity of people quite often during third shift, especially, and he just smelled god awful, man. I mean, you got to smell pretty bad for me to say something. And everybody was putting it on me to say something and say something. I kept kicking the can and kicking the can. And my best friend in the world, Chris, who I love and I would go to war with any day of the week. Chris also has no filter and no tact whatsoever. Chris went up to him and gave him a literal stick of deodorant. Like, he bought it and gave it to him. Like, and just like, here. And like, that's all he did. He didn't say anything. Just like, I feel like that's the word. That's like the you don't do. That's the what I know what you don't do. But how do you handle that? How do you really tell somebody that?
Well, you know, in the workplace, I would just say you take it to your boss.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. I think that's probably the most. In this day and age, especially, that's probably your safest bet.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. I'm kind of for the Chris method. I got to say, rip the Band-Aid off. Just say, you know, don't make a big deal out of it. Hmm. Just go up and say, look it, you know, just here. You'll understand what this means. I'm giving you this thing.
I am going to take such a lyrical beating from him as soon as I get off the air. Because I've been giving him a hard time about this for years.
Oh, gosh.
And the fact that both of you were like, well, it's not that bad. That's great.
Sorry, we just gave him something.
That's awesome.
But it depends on the situation, too.
Yeah, like, it does.
You got to kind of read the room on that one. Mm-hmm. How is that person going to take it? Are they going to be seriously offended? But are they also going to be seriously embarrassed and offended if you pull them aside and go, hey, buddy, let's talk about personal hygiene. This is an awkward conversation. Let's have it.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said you started it off the way you did, Melissa, with workplace, because that's all I was thinking of. And in a personal life, I've got, you know, there are ways to tactfully tell people. I've even done that. So I don't have an issue there. To me, it's more of the work balance. I like that.
Yeah.
That's where it gets tough. So I'm glad you defined that there, Melissa.
Very good.
The more difficult place to have that conversation is, let's say, at the high school level. Because teenage boys are stinky. You know, upper middle school, first grade, high school. And the answer, I'm sorry, boys, the answer is not Axe.
No, please, it's not.
No.
Bathing not an excessive, is... not excessively. Yes, don't do it.
No.
Unless you want to be single, like then it's different. Then go right ahead and bathe in the Axe. But otherwise, no, it's not okay.
Don't believe the commercials. Stinky. Don't believe the commercials. Yes. They're all lies.
It's excessive.
Yes. Every Wednesday, we are joined by our good friends from Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. We got Phil Hartley joining us. Good morning, Phil.
Hey, good morning. And now I got to go home and change how I smell.
Right.
After that Axe talk, there goes my theory.
Every single one of us, like, immediately, like, was checking our smell. Like, immediately, like,
except me, I don't have to. I'm home alone.
Is fine.
Phil joins us, of course, every Wednesday with our Wicked Awesome Word. And what do you got for us today, Phil?
Okay, I got to make sure I pronounce this right, because I had to listen to it 3 or 4 times. Fecundity.
Ooh. Fecundity.
Ooh.
Fecundity. Ooh, that's a good one.
I had to make sure I was saying that correctly. Yeah. But it means the ability to produce new ideas. Be creative, right? Many new ideas.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So let's see what the sentence they use here is. The immense fecundity of his imagination made a profound impact on European literature. Wow, that's a long statement.
Anyway, that was a mouthful.
He had a lot of good ideas, however he was.
Yes. Must be a famous writer.
The other definition is to have a lot of offspring.
To have a lot of offspring?
Yeah, produce a lot of new things.
That's hilarious. You're producing a lot of new things? All right, yeah.
So either you're producing ideas or children. That's kind of funny. Okay.
Some of us, it's a little bit of both.
Well, they're not separate, James. You can do both, true.
What a fantastic word. That is good. You guys are awfully fecundity over there at Quality Plus, Phil. You guys are very creative over there. How is it going at the shop?
It's a good day today again. Every day is a good day here, right?
Yeah.
But and so I don't forget, you guys bringing me over McDonald's later?
Right? Yeah, somebody's got to get on that. We gotta get interns around here.
Yeah,
just,
what's
just
wrong
for these purposes. We really do.
It is. You know, we got to help Terry out, right?
Darn right. Darn
yeah, that's right.
I appreciate you taking the time to mention that, Phil. That's right. From 7 to 7 today, United Way Day over at our Wisconsin Rapids McDonald's. How about you guys, Phil? Do you guys have any sales, deals, things we want to let people know about going on? Because it's always a good price over there.
Yeah, no, I mean, every day is a sale day here.
Yeah. But right on.
Everything's on sale. No, it's doing good. We get some stuff printing for Urkel this morning, stuff for political season is heating up, so guess mm-hmm. what comes in? A lot of different political customers that we mm-hmm. do printing for, local, you know, our local praise mm-hmm. bee. That we have some people that step up and want to do those jobs, and we're happy to print their materials for them here, too. So that's part of what's keeping us busy today, too. So, no, good day here.
And I do want to take the moment there, Phil, to also give you guys a big tip of the hat and a thank you, because I know how much, you know, how much work you do to help out local nonprofits and businesses in this area. You guys aren't looking to break anybody. You're only looking to add to people, add to the business, add to the community. And that's really noteworthy, especially for a business that is, you know, not starting up, but still up and running and with new management and everything. Like, we don't see that very often. Now, in this area, we see it a bit, but we still don't see it that often. Big kudos to you guys over there for that.
Oh, thanks, James. And, you know, part of my philosophy, and I think philosophy of this business, part of it is you get what you give. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you can help people out and try to use fecundity, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Making that happen. Be creative, like we were talking about, and help people, you know, businesses and fundraisers. We do a heck of a lot of work for fundraisers here, too, and local events like that. And if we can help them out and get them a fair price or what we can do here, and help them get their word out so they're successful, that's awesome.
It goes a long way. And we all get through this life together, working together and all these things. You guys get that over at Quality Plus. Appreciate you so much, Phil. Thanks so much for joining us. We're looking forward to hearing from you next Thursday already.
Hey,
no, next Wednesday. Next Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday. We'll go with Wednesday. What the heck?
Yeah. That seems to be working. Let's stick with what works. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. How's that play going?
It's going well. We had a great first weekend, and we're going to wrap it up this week. We're all looking forward to it. I am having a lot of fun with the show, but at the same time, man, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I'm on stage for like 2.5 hours, so it's like, yeah, I'm ready for it to be wrapping up.
Lead roles. Yeah, you can take one of those lead roles. You got to play a fun one in the background where you can just laugh at other people.
Right, you're right.
Spear carrier. That's what I'm looking for next. Yeah.
Phil's got the right idea.
My wife and I both should be there Friday night, so we're looking forward
Excellent.
To it.
Excellent.
Appreciate good to hear. Good to
yeah,
hear.
Thanks for coming.
We'll see you soon.
Yeah, Wayne got a script yesterday for the next show. So.
Oh.
We'll see if I can fit it in.
Hope you can, Phil. We love seeing you on stage.
Yeah.
Tell that wonderful wife of yours hi and the whole staff hello for us, okay?
Yeah, thanks a bunch, you guys. Take care.
Have a great one, Phil.
Yeah, you too, Phil.
Big shout out to our great friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Visit them today. They're at 3515 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids, open till 4 most days. You can also give them a call at 423-7440. Be sure to bookmark their webpage, qpprinting.com, and you can find out even more information at their Facebook page. Follow them on social media, support local, buy local. Mm-hmm. Check out our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out.
Yes.
You know, Phil kind of gave me a little bit of a how do you say that? Fecundity. Fecundity?
Yeah.
I want to pull an audible here. Let's give away these Linda Ronstadt tickets.
Excellent idea.
Let's do it. Our good friends at the Performing Arts Center, Sally Kistner in particular, set us up with these tickets. We want to get them in your hands. Take in the Linda Ronstadt experience, brought to you by Tristan McIntosh, a former American Idol finalist. Mm-hmm. She portrays Linda perfectly. It's amazing, you guys. This show is going on tomorrow. It kicks off at 7:30. Get your tickets by going to savorthearts.com. That's savorthearts.com. Or call up right now to 424-2600. Give me a Linda Ronstadt song. Tell me your favorite Linda Ronstadt song. That's all it'll take. Tell us your favorite Linda Ronstadt song, and boom, just like that, you'll win these tickets at 424-2600. We'll go ahead and come back with a winner and have some more fun. It's Melissa, Seth, and James taking you through your morning on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR. NPR, locally grown radio. Got Seth, Melissa, and James here with you. Hope you're having a fantastic day out there, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of weeks ago when we all got together, we were going over old wives' tales.
Oh, okay.
Just thought it'd be fun to kind of continue, you know, finish, wrap up that segment, part two of that one. When we first went over it, we hit on most of the traditional ones as far as like waiting 30 minutes after eating. There's some truth to that. You might have a little stomach pain, but when swimming on a full stomach, but not necessarily anything too crazy.
Right.
You know, some of those like things like that that we got over, we kind of went through. But then there were some that I hadn't heard one or two of these. And they were like this one, foods with mayonnaise spoil faster. I had not heard that one before, but to be fair, we don't really have a lot of mayonnaise in the house where,
right,
when I've been growing up or anything.
Right, exactly.
It turns out this isn't always true. When you turn your leftover chicken into chicken salad, the mayonnaise can actually help prevent spoilage. Because commercial mayonnaise is somewhat acidic. Research from the Food Research Institute at the University of Wisconsin, shout out UW, finds that store-bought mayo, not the kind you make at home, has acidically, which can reduce spoiling. The key is to make sure food is kept cold.
Yeah, oh, that's the problem with mayonnaise.
Exactly.
Yep. Hmm. Don't bring it out and set it outside in the sun at a party.
Well, I think the reason people think that is because they use raw eggs to make mayonnaise.
Right.
That's part of the things. But you also use vinegar. And vinegar is where the acid comes from. So I think that's where it came from, though. It's like, oh, raw eggs. That means it's going to go bad quicker, right? Because everyone associates, you know, eggs with salmonella and stuff, you know, because it's there.
Yeah.
It's in eggs, right? There's a good reason. Don't eat raw eggs, everybody. Yeah. Just don't do that.
No.
But anyway, I think that's where it came from. That's my theory anyway.
I think a lot of us have heard this one. Feed a cold, starve a fever.
Yep.
Well, forget that one. That's probably
ridiculous.
Not,
yeah,
it's probably not going to be going to get the job done. Let me see here because my computer just here it is. Yeah, forget the old saying. Forget that old saying. Actually, the original saying was "feed a cold, starve a fever." Fasting will weaken you just as you should be preserving your strength. Even if you don't feel like eating, you should consider trying bland foods such as chicken soup, toast, and other soothing foods. The key is to feed your body healthy foods in order to strengthen your immune system so you can fight infections. This is important because of people like me, because I will think, well, I got to eat something. I'll eat some cookies. I'll eat that.
That's not the healthy part.
No. Yeah,
the worst thing you can eat when you're sick is sugar.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody learned that way late in adult life. Yeah, way later than he should have.
We won't say who that is.
No. Well, because we don't want to embarrass him while he's hosting a show and trying to talk and not... here's an interesting one. And again, this one, I find it interesting because it has never applied to me. I've literally never put on sunscreen. Now, I'm going to have to start doing it because even with beige skin, the way that the world is going and everything and all that stuff.
Yep.
I mean, I know black friends of mine who are wearing sunscreen nowadays. Like, that's how bad it's gotten. If we needed any other outlier to tell us the sun is closer than it has ever been, like these things. But at any rate, getting a base tan can prevent sunburns. Is that true or false? Even though skin cancer is the most common form of cancer in the U.S., many people still hold the faulty belief that getting a base tan will protect them from sunburns and cancer, make them look youthful, or clean up acne. No, and again, no.
No.
Jennifer Cotty, board of certified family physician and assistant professor at Rowan University, says there is no such thing as a little tan, and all tanning increases your risk of cancer. Nor will it help your skin. In fact, sun damage is primarily cause of wrinkles, she added. One of my favorite jokes of all time is hearing Eddie Griffith talking about as a young man, and he goes to the beach, and he's a dark skinned black man. He's taken a lot of heat for this in his life, and he can't understand why these white people are sitting outside trying to get darker. Yeah. Like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. Like, but I was getting made fun of because I was darker. Now you guys are trying to get darker. Like, you didn't understand. It is kind of a silly, kind of fun, not fun, kind of silly thing we do.
Yeah,
it would be fun in games except for the C word.
Yeah.
Because how many people do you think that this has gotten cancer from this?
Yes.
Like, a lot of us have cancer in our family already. It doesn't need help. It doesn't need the added push or anything like that.
Yeah, this is one case where the whole idea of what looks good, it doesn't matter, because you're so right. The sun is because we need the sun for everything, basically we wouldn't be around without it. But there are certain things we do not need the sun for, and that's one of them. So keep that in mind, everybody.
Yeah, yeah. You'll get sick if you go outside in cold weather with wet hair. That is such a man. I cannot.
Ridiculous.
I've heard this one my whole life. To be fair, we tend to get sick in colder months, but it has nothing to do with the actual temperature of your hair. Viruses thrive in cold. Viruses thrive in cold weather, and since we spend more time indoors with people during the winter, we're more likely to spread infection.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
You get sick by exposure to germs, not your body
cold weather.
I never like to tell mothers that they're wrong, so I don't want to get too dangerously close to that or anything. But yeah,
in their hearts, they know.
Are there other dangers by going outside with a wet head? Yeah, haven't you ever had your hair freeze?
Yeah, crunchy
and
hair.
And it can break.
Mm-hmm. It can if it's cold enough. Yeah,
if it's cold enough and your hair is frozen, it can break. So I mean, that's
a bad thing, right?
Enough not to go outside with a wet head.
That feels like more than enough reason to me. Exactly. Yes, Melissa, I think that's a very solid point by you. We're gonna take a break right here. We'll come back in a little entertainment news, see what other trouble we can get ourselves into with some good stories of the day that are right stories, and plenty more coming up right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. Well, yeah, Melissa, you could say it better than I can.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.